This is KUT.
KUT, Austin.
Stop.
It's Morning Edition on KUT. I'm Jimmy Moss. Professionally, Chernon Jai is a typical success story. He arrived in Austin in 1985 to attend the University of Texas.
I'm a real estate developer, multifamily housing, mainly apartments. And previous to that, I was a state official managing the tax credit program, which is involved in developing affordable housing.
Jai is married with two young daughters and has a grown son who lives in Houston. There's even a park in Houston that's named for Jai's mother. If there's a checklist of things to do in Texas and Austin, he's checked a lot of boxes. Attend UT, work for the state, raise a family, become an entrepreneur.
Boy, there's a lot to do. Eating out, going out downtown, listening to jazz.
Just your average Austin area resident.
Well, it's the life of a typical suburbanite. I live in Lakeway and centered around my work, family, friends. Nothing unusual. It's typical, I think, except for the fact that I'm from Gambia and have for a while been watching events there over the last few years.
Oh, yeah. And plot a coup. In 2014, Chernon Jai helped plot an attempt to overthrow the Gambian government. If it had been successful, he would have become the president of the West African nation. So why would a successful real estate developer want to leave Texas in the middle of an economic boom and put his and others' lives in danger? To answer that, we have to know more about Yahya Jammeh. For more than 22 years, Jammeh was the leader of the Gambia. The tiny country hugs the Gambia River, bounded on three sides by Senegal and the Atlantic Ocean to its west. Jammeh ruled a population smaller than the Austin metro area.
It's just 40 miles by 400 miles. So it's a very, very small alleyway.
That's Banka Mane. He's originally from the Gambia. He was an outspoken critic of Jammeh for years, doing so from the relative safety of his suburban Atlanta home.
And so everybody knows, if I don't know you, I know your brother or I know your sister or your uncle and my uncle are best friends or your aunt and my mom are close. Is somehow, somewhere, in some respect, there will be a connection.
Jammeh's rule became increasingly unpredictable. Jammeh made outlandish claims, saying he was a self-taught healer that could cure AIDS and infertility. He told the BBC he would rule the Gambia for a billion years if God is willing. He once threatened to behead all homosexuals and condemned the European Union and the U.S. for, in his words, promoting homosexuality as a human right. He's also insisted on adding titles to his name, so much that last year he was officially referred to in country as His Excellency Sheikh Professor Alhaji Dr. Yahya AJJ Jammeh Babili Mansa, the last two words to mean bridge builder.
Things have gotten worse. Jammeh had become more brazen. In fact, he became more brutal. The killings, the disappearances, the abuse literally intensified over those 2 decades.
Mane grew frustrated. After years of activism from abroad, trying to raise awareness for Jammeh's behavior, he didn't think he was getting anywhere.
Something in you keeps saying, you gotta end this. This has gotta stop.
Like the Gambia itself, the expat community in the United States is small and relatively intertwined. Mane had been discussing the next steps with fellow Gambians living here. They started talking about a coup. Mane said, when they began to move forward, he knew funding would be an issue. He knew one person who would be able to help them. Shortly thereafter, a Kentucky National Guardsman and co-conspirator, Jaga Jean, told the group he also had a contact with Deep Pockets.
I said, oh, really? He said, yeah. I said, where? He said, in Texas. I said, Texas? He said, yeah. I said, where in Texas? He said, Austin. I said, ah, okay. I said, guys, this is good. Maybe we're talking about the same guy here then.
Chernon Jai.
Well, I had been a supporter of the opposition parties as well as activists. I had sponsored some broadcasts in a neighboring country because the media in Gambia is totally under the thumb of the government.
With funds in hand, the group set out to buy weapons, mostly from gun shops here in the U.S. The weapons were smuggled into the Gambia and the plot was underway. The plan was simple. 8 men would rush the State House, the equivalent of the White House, while President Jammeh was out of the country. They believed there would be friendly faces inside who would be easily convinced to support their cause. The army would then fall in line. Jai was standing by to deliver a message on state-run TV and radio once the other dominoes had fallen. He would then assume the role of president and the interim government until democratic elections could be held. A coup d'etat without a single person hurt. If it sounds ridiculous, it is not. In fact, a nearly identical plan worked in 1994 when four junior army officers walked into an empty state house and took over the Gambia. One of those men was a 29-year-old Yahya Jammeh. But in December of 2014, things didn't go as well for this group. Another co-conspirator, Papa Fall of Minnesota, spent a decade in the U.S. Air Force and Army, even a tour of Afghanistan. He was there.
The guys who was responsible for the state house gave us a green light to come when we came. Unfortunately, he had something else in mind. He betrayed us.
We're still having to piece things together because state media is saying one thing. It's saying that an attempted coup has been foiled.
Whereas we are aware of reports of a coup attempt overnight in the Gambia. We strongly condemn any attempt to seize power through extra-constitutional means.
U.S. State Department spokesman Jeff Rathke in 2014.
Released an emergency message for U.S. citizens, strongly advising U.S. citizens to avoid Banjul. And
Your Excellency, there have been reports that there was a coup attempt in the country here. Now you are back. What is your statement?
Here's President Jammeh.
It was not a coup. It's a lie that it was a coup. It was attacked by dissidents based in the U.S.,
The planned bloodless coup turned into a nightmare. The group met fierce opposition at the state house. Several in the group were killed. Fall managed to escape to Senegal. Jai and Fall both eventually made it back home, only to find more trouble.
Remains in custody for allegedly trying to overthrow the government of Gambia.
The attempted coup reads like something out of a Hollywood movie script.
Those who escaped and those who stayed here were arrested for violating the Neutrality Act of 1794. In essence, U.S. citizens cannot commit an act of war against a nation we are not at war with. Jai was sentenced to a year and a day at a federal prison in Beaumont. Mane was sentenced to 6 months. Fall was given time served. All are now out or on probation, but they feel redeemed by what has happened in the Gambia since.
Even though we did not succeed in unseating the government, I think the long-term effects were a contributing factor in his eventual demise.
The unusual coup attempt, organized by largely middle-aged, established professionals and military veterans in the U.S., captured the attention of international media. It shined a light on Jammeh and his human rights record.
It emboldened the citizens, and I think the international community became aware that Gambia is a potential flashpoint.
Just last December, Jammeh lost an election. Initially, he conceded, then he backtracked, saying it was rigged. He was essentially forced out by the Senegalese forces. Adama Barrow is now leading the Gambia to a freer society. As for the man who would have been president, Jai is rebuilding his business, building multifamily housing here in Austin. He's also writing a book, although he has not forgotten the Gambia.
I'm in touch with the people back home and will be involved in civic engagement and making sure that the reforms that we had talked about and are implemented through the legislative process, through advocacy, and we'll see what happens.
I can change the world with my own two hands.
Jimmy Moss, KUT News.